You're listening to The Polishman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.
Now your host, the award-winning Jessica R. Bunavach. Hey, Jess.
Hi, good morning. Oh my god. How are you? Oh, I love your background.
Thank you. I'm in Florida. We're on set for my cookbook, and there also happens to be a podcast studio here with Ion Channel in Florida and Ion South Florida. So, you know, this is home for me. So it's great to be broadcasting live from Florida in the studios at Ion. But Jess,
tell them about your book first. What is that? What are you doing?
Tune in to Max and Friends and LA Talk Radio every Sunday night, and you can hear all about my book. It's a cookbook that I have coming out next year, and we'll hear more about that on my show. But Jess, you have been going through so much. What is going on? How are you? Where are you spiritually, emotionally, and mentally? Let's talk.
No, seriously, spiritually, I'm there. If not for my faith, my spiritual relationship with my faith, I don't know where I am right now. Yeah. There's just so much going on.
But good stuff that we can't talk
but
about.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
And again,
this is important. If you see Jessica out on the streets and she's doing what she's doing, please don't run up to her and ask her, what are you up to? Just let her be, let her do her thing. Okay.
I mean, it's all good, but at the same time, can I read this? This is my prayer for today. There's always hardship. It will never end, I believe, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like, but you have to just accept it. Mm-hmm. You just have to, okay, this is what's happening, and this is the trials are always going to be there, but you just have to be really strong and accept the fact that, you know, all your life it's going to happen, and you just have to have, you know,
faith.
Hope.
You know, faith, hope, charity, all. But the reality is you also have to realize you are the creator of your reality, ladies. And you have to remember, when Jess first started this show, you know, she didn't want to do it. There were difficulties and so on. Today's show, though, is about mothers who are thriving through difficulties while raising children.
Yes.
And why did we use the word thriving instead of surviving? Because I joke about it. I know, Jess. I know. To some, they don't find it funny, but here's my breakdown. No one survives life. We're all going to die.
Yeah.
So the word surviving sounds like you become the victim. Thrive through life, ladies. And you are going to be inspired today and you're going to be educated today and learn how you will be able to thrive through difficulties like Jessica has, Jessica does, and also the women that we have on have and are doing. There's ways to thrive, and we're going to teach you how. So don't be, you know, don't have despair. There is hope, and you are the creator of your reality, and you are the creator of thriving through your difficulties. Jess, we'll talk about your difficulties and thriving through them because you went through a lot, especially leaving your homeland, everything behind, family, friends, patterns, pathologies, culture, food, men, everything. You left it all behind.
Everything.
And you brought your children in tow and you said, I'm going to thrive through difficulties. While you were going through those difficulties, Jess, did you ever feel at any moment like, shit, I'm not going to be able to do this. I'm giving up or I give up. Did you ever feel that?
No, you know what? Because I was young. I was young and I was really motivated to, I guess, because I have two families that I'm taking care of, my kids and my siblings. You know, I was a mom also to my siblings. Mm. So I was really motivated to, you know what? And I kept a promise to my mother that I will be a good mother to my siblings and I will be a good mother on my own, you know,
to children. Your children.
So I was really motivated. Mm. I was motivated to do. But the thing is, love, you know, like, because you're so motivated, because you're so, what do you call this? You want to do things the best for, you know, for your children and whoever you're helping. Sometimes you get into things that are not really good, right? You know, that are
bad and good, that's judgment.
I become a manizer. You know
but
what I mean?
But that's okay. But no. You know what? When you start, you can't judge yourself. You can't judge yourself. You know, bad or good is a perspective because what's bad to you might be good to someone else. So to beat yourself up over an experience, I think is just something that's it's unjust to who you're being and who you are. Because as we talk about here on the show, no experience is ever wasted. No matter what you went through, you learned from it, you know, and everything teaches you from the next step to the next. You have to listen to the whispers of the experience to understand that where I am at this exact moment is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
And these I think two, that,
yeah
Yeah. And those experience, I think, like, for example, if I didn't have those experience,
you wouldn't be the Polish woman.
Even, yeah, I wouldn't be the Polish woman. I won't be able to, like, share to you what is, like, I feel like every topic that we discuss, I always had experience. It's so weird, right? Like, yeah. 2 weeks ago, and then last week, and then now. Like, every
and no experience
topic,
is ever wasted. All
yes.
right, speaking of wasted, time is, you know, an illusion. So we don't have much of it here on The Polish Woman today.
Yes.
Ladies, sit back. This is a life class. Mothers who are thriving through difficulties while raising children. Mm-hmm. Jess, your guest today. Let's bring one on. One of my favorite. You know, I've had her on my show. We've had her on your show. Christina Kuzmich is back here on The Polish Woman.
I know. Thank you so much for being on the show again. I know you're so busy.
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
But this is your kind of show. This is your kind of show.
Yes, exactly. Hey,
Christina, let me tell you something. Your videos make me laugh whenever I'm like so down. Like, oh my gosh, you're amazing, right?
It makes me so happy. I mean, my whole goal in life is just to bring some hope and humor. So thank you for saying that. I appreciate
it. It transcends hope and humor. What it also transcends to is humanizing. You humanize difficult situations. You make us realize that no matter what hell we're going through, we have to have a little bit of humor in it.
Exactly.
And that if we're going through hell, we can't stop. And you are that motivating factor. You know, you're like that little push behind us when we're going through hell. It's like, I'm going to push you through it. You're the push. You're the push we all need.
Yeah. And I think what I realized, you know, I went through my difficult time after divorce and I was almost homeless and I slept on the floor with my kids and I, you know, I had a friend who worked at Starbucks and the food that was no longer good to sell, they would give me the food for my kids and my oldest still like prefers stale bread because that's what he was used to like.
Okay.
But the biggest part of all of that, and I think a lot of moms can relate to this, is that I believed that my children deserve better. It's like all of those outward circumstances started affecting this and this. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I am so honest in my videos and I talk about all that stuff because I think a lot of people don't talk about the hard stuff because they feel shame.
Listening
to your conversation here at the beginning, how you said, you know, Jessica, that you were motivated and, you know, you knew what you had to do. I wasn't there right away. And so if anybody's listening, they're like, I don't feel that I was suicidal. I mean, I had a list of pros and cons of how my suicide would affect my kids.
Yeah.
And the list of pros, meaning my kids will be better off without me, was longer. Because I genuinely, I mean, obviously lies, right? I was being lies.
Yeah.
But it took me a while to get to that place. And so if anybody's listening and they're not at that place where they're like, I'm just going to fight for it, still keep going. Still keep going.
Absolutely. Christina, real quick, you said you wanted your kids deserved better. Did you feel that you also deserved better?
No, because I hated myself so much at the time. Mm. Again, it took me a while to really believe that I had any self-worth. Mm. And I mean, I get like chills when I even say it now because it's so hard for me to even relate to that. Like, who is that person?
Yeah.
I really have confidence now and I love my life.
Yeah.
You know? What does self-worth mean to you? Define it.
Just knowing that you have a unique, special, important place on this earth. You have something to offer. That even when you feel like you have nothing, you still have something unique to offer and we need you here. And that's why I keep telling people, stick around. When if you have that suicide list, even if it's extreme, if you just have a bad day, stick around. You don't know what's around the corner.
Yeah.
But you need to sleep, you don't stick around.
Well, here's what I know what's around the corner. Jess and you are going to have a great show with Lucy coming up in just a minute.
Judy.
I have, you know what? I have Lucy calling me right now from Italy. But I do, and I'm reading this and I'm reading that. But Christina, before I let you go and I go back into control room, for you, how do you do what your shirt says? Stay positive. How do you stay positive?
Okay, so I call myself a recovering pessimist. So I'm not a person that wakes up in the morning and just, I have to like tell myself, right? And I'm going to be a recovery forever. My mind tends to go negative.
Yeah.
But I think it honestly all, like I think the root of everything is we need to be kinder to ourselves. It is hard to stay positive about anything when you are not kind to yourself. And so I always think like, you know, I've just like everybody else, I've had some hard parenting days during this crazy pandemic.
Yeah.
And I decided that the harder the day, the kinder and gentler I have to be with myself because
I love that.
And here's the truth. Think of anything tough that happens in your life. tough days are less tough if we're not so tough on ourselves.
Okay.
Whether it's a small thing or a big thing, if you're kinder to yourself, you will handle the stuff that's out of your control much easier. So that's how you stay positive. Just be love yourself the way you love your most loved ones.
Exactly. I love that.
Oh, I love
for
that.
For the record, see, Lucy was calling me. I wasn't making it up. But, you know, I have to make a note, and then I'm really out of here because you're going to have a great show. Help is available. Speak with someone today. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. A great number to call. I've actually been on the phone with a friend who didn't want to call, and I helped them call through it, and we called together. So if you have if you don't have the strength or courage to do it, have a friend call with you. I promise it will literally change your life. Jess, Christina, have a great show.
My gosh, thank you. Thank you, Max. Hey, Christina.
Yay!
Okay, so we have a girl. We have a girl that I want you and I to help. She's really special. She has four children, four girls. Oh. And she moved here from, I forgot. It's from Ohio or something with her four girls. And she came to, to LA and didn't know what to do. Right, Judy? Yeah. So that's why I invite Christina. Christina will be the best, person for you to advise you because, she was also a single mom. She'll tell you her story. Christina, just a little bit about you so Judy can hear it.
Well, so not to repeat myself for listeners, but I went through a divorce and then ended up completely broke. I was on food stamps. And more than that, just sunk into a depression where I felt worthless and felt like my kids deserve better than me. And so now through everything I create, I really try to be for others what I needed at that time. So I have this really strong passion to just encourage single moms, single parents in general.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So how about, are there any aspect of that story that resonate with you, Judy?
All of it. All of it. And it's Michigan, by the way.
Oh Michigan. I was like, wait.
Yeah, you're the
other guest.
Yeah.
Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about you, Judy?
Well, I moved to California back in 2010. After my divorce was finalized, I actually drove here with my four daughters. I knew no one here. I had one friend here that I met in Michigan. He is now currently my boyfriend, but he's the only person I knew out here. I wanted to start over. It was far enough away. I had sole custody of my kids, which was tough to get, because you have to prove one parent unfit. So, I asked the judge, if I can relocate. I was granted that. And I left at 5 a.m. with my kids and just got on the road. And, I had help along the way as far as, the job that I was in at the time allowed me to collect unemployment. I had friends of my brothers, who met with me and helped set up GPS so I knew how to get here. But it was tough. It was tough. When I moved out here, I had no idea what I was in for. I didn't even realize that the condos or apartments out here came with no refrigerators and no stoves.
Oh, yeah.
They're equipped with those things in Michigan.
Yeah.
So I had a cooler.
It is more expensive here, right? It's more expensive here than Michigan. Yeah.
It is. My kids and I slept on air mattresses for about 7 months. And I worked a lot of jobs and I'm still working.
But so you're currently working two jobs right now, right?
I'm currently a real estate agent and a property manager. Yes.
Okay. And so Christina, her life was on a suicidal for a while. She didn't believe in herself. How did you, Christina, you first, how did you get out of it? From being suicidal to you're about, you're not happy with your life. You're about to leave. You think in your thoughts, my children are going to be happy without me, more happy without me. How did you get out of that? How did you say, what clicked in your thoughts that, this is wrong. I'm not going to do this.
Yeah. For me, I had to start finding my worth. And for me, it started with, I noticed that I was obsessed with how much my life sucked. I mean, that's all I thought about. I could just, all I could see was everything that was wrong, and it'll be wrong forever, and it'll be hard forever, and I will suck forever. And
so it's
and
all it's, negative, right?
Yeah, very. And it was when I stopped focusing on the long list of things I couldn't do and didn't have, and decided to completely focus on the much shorter list. And it is shorter for everybody, of the things you actually can do and do have. That I realized it doesn't take a lot. If I can just focus on what I can offer today, even if it seems ridiculously small to me, I'll slowly gain my worth. And so for me personally, I started cooking for strangers, and it made me feel like I had worth. And then I started going to therapy. And by the way, a lot of people can't afford therapy. I called local universities, because students who have finished all their coursework to be a therapist, they have to put in a certain number of hours. Mm-hmm. Being with a client before they can actually get licensed. And so they have all the education, they have someone supervising them, they just need to put in the hours. So they'll do therapy either for free or for like $10. So I called universities. I said, can you hook me up with a student who is ready to, you know, who needs hours? And so that's how I got therapy. And by the way, I went through three different ones until I found my fit, but that was huge for me. I started joining support groups for moms, and I didn't have social media.
Yeah.
But that's a big one now. You know, because this was years ago, Facebook just started probably. But now with Facebook and Instagram, there are so many support groups. And if you just even Google support groups for moms in my city, you can find stuff. But I think for me, the main thing was to, you know, a lot of times when we're struggling, we go like this. We sort of clench our fists. I'm not letting anybody in. I have so much shame. My life is so embarrassing. It's so, oh my gosh, it's so dramatic. I don't want anyone to know. And instead, the minute you go like this and you actually let people into your mess, I think that's when healing begins. At least for me, it did.
Yeah. How about you, Judy? What is the most unaccepted hardship of being a single mom and needing to start over, you know, to start over again, just like, you know, what Christina did?
Guilt and failure. So for me, it was the guilt of allowing myself and my children to be in this abusive, you know, lifestyle for so long, and fear of failure, of being on my own. So, I mean, there was so many times I would, you know, go to work and come home, and then the kids were fine because they didn't realize, you know, they didn't know what was really going on. I mean, my older two did. My younger two had no idea. But I mean, I went to churches for food. I mean, things, you know, things came slowly, but they always presented themselves. So, you know, when people say, oh, you did this on your own, I don't think anyone ever does anything on their own, ever.
Yeah.
There's always something in place, someone in place. There, you know, things just kind of happen. And they have, and that's what I always say, you know, I've been blessed to be in especially in California, you know, where you see so many struggling, and I still have a roof over my head. My girls have clothes, you know, they're fed, and I'm still working, thankfully. But those are the things that kept me going, is I never want my girls to see me as a failure.
But that's so, yeah, that's
what you said is so important about, you know, you were willing to go to a church, for example, and ask for food. And I think that's the thing. We are brainwashed from a young age. I'm actually making a video about this, how from a young age, we accomplish something, tying our shoes, doing a puzzle. And what do the grownups say? You did it all by yourself. I'm so proud of you. Right. And we start believing that we are only worthy of somebody being proud of us, of praise, if we do it all by ourselves. And I see so many single parents, or parents in general, humans in general, who are struggling because they feel like, if I can't do this on my own, I'm inadequate. Instead of, no, I'm human and I need help. And so even that, for you to share that you went and you asked for food, you know, every time I've shared that I was on food stamps, people are like, aren't you ashamed to admit that? No, I'm not. I needed help. And so I think, I just hope that everybody who's struggling can sort of take that coat of shame off and just ask for what you need,
what you have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is good. Actually, you know, Judy, it's really good that you're sharing this right now. And, you know, and so is Christina. I mean, these are like situations that you cannot, you know, you cannot get out of. And every day, I was just telling Max that every day there will always be trials, you know, but you know, but, you know, I want to, you know, I talk about how I got through it. You know, it's so hard to talk about it, but don't be ashamed, right? I mean, right. Ladies, whoever who's listening right now and you're going through the same thing, talk about it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Get out there. And, you know, watch Christina. She has a lot of, you know, on her, you know, on her social media, she will advise you every, you know, every day. And like, there's, it's so much fun, like watching you, Christina. I was just sharing, you know, with Max, how sometimes when I'm disappointed and so low, I watched you just make me laugh and I just, okay, I gotta go and do something, you know, it's just amazing, right? Julie, I know that you made a decision to make a pretty significant move with your girls. Right. What inspired you to take that journey towards a new life? And then what made you leave the old life?
Leaving the old life was the drama that was there. Mm-hmm. Everything that kept me in that toxic relationship mm-hmm. was there, and I knew the only way to get away from it was mm-hmm. to leave it. You know, okay. I was terrified. I left my family as well. My whole family mm-hmm. is in Michigan. You know, so it was a really tough decision, but one that was necessary, I feel. And mm-hmm. don't get me wrong, over the years, I mean, I've lost my parents, you know, and it's been I'm tough. Sorry. And I've doubted myself even till now. You know, I'll think sometimes, did I make the right decision in moving my girls? Because they're not as close mm-hmm. to family as I would like them to be. You know, they didn't grow up with these huge birthday parties with their cousins and aunts and uncles. And, mm-hmm. you know, but then I do look at their character and how they are. And they are such sweet, humble girls. And then I still see the drama back home. So I'm just like, oh, I did the right thing. You know, I kept them away from it a little bit here.
That's right.
Okay. Because they're going to have their own drama someday.
Yeah.
You know, it was more, I needed it more for my own mm-hmm. sanity. You know, and a lot of people, you know, a lot of women in general, or even, you know, everyone, they say, oh my gosh, you were in this bad relationship. But what they don't understand is that it takes two. So yes.
So you admit you also had you know, some sort of like mistake. Well, yeah.
Being in that type of relationship, you're an enabler. Whether you are or not.
Yeah.
Do you need help? Is it manipulative? Of course it is. Is it scary? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But when you have children, that's your obligation. That's your priority. So that's where that wake up for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I got Child Protective Services involved for myself to help me out. That was my purpose of having someone force my hand.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is wrong. I knew it was wrong.
Yeah.
I knew I deserved more. I knew my children deserved more.
And you know, you deserve more as well, right?
You know, and
yeah,
it plays mind games with you, especially when you're so young and you stay in that lifestyle and it's a pattern.
Wow.
So, you know,
Christina, do you think she did the right thing? I mean, you know,
absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of times, you know, we either stay in bad situations because of our own insecurities, right? Mm-hmm. Do I deserve better? Am I ever going to find anybody better? Maybe I deserve people. Or we stay in a bad situation because we set up this fantasy for our life. And no, we're meant to be a family together. And my kids are meant to have married parents. And I'm just going to do everything to make it work because I have to live up to this fantasy, even though
yes.
it's literally a fantasy. Life is not a fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I forgot what the third.
You went through this as well, Christina, right? You also, you know, you had your first husband as well, and you decided, oh, you know what, it's not working. Was it hard to really fight for it and make it work? You know, for the kids.
I was trying to, you know, we went to marriage therapy and did all that, and then I heard somebody say something that clicked for me. And it is better for a child to come from a broken home than live in a broken home. Mm-hmm. And for me,
it was, I like that.
Like, mind blown. I almost felt like someone literally handed me a permission slip and said, you can leave, your kids will be okay. Because, you know, as a parent, obviously, we want to do everything to make life the best we can, the healthiest we can for our kids.
Yeah.
But to hear that really was like life-changing for me. So, yeah, I think Judy, not only did you do the right thing, but a really brave and courageous thing. And I love what you said about, mm-hmm. you know, the reason you wanted to get so far away is because you wanted to get away from drama. And like prioritizing our sanity is one of the most important things, because, you know, so many parents feel like, oh, I feel bad if I take some time for myself, yeah. or if I even think of myself, or if I yes. don't care. And I always think, are you kidding me? You're not taking away from your family by prioritizing yourself. You're giving it to them because you're giving them a healthier, happier parent. You're actually like, don't ever feel guilty for prioritizing yourself. You're giving them a better parent. And our children learn more from watching how we live than anything we tell them, right? So your children saw you be brave. Your children saw you lead. Your children saw you prioritize your sanity and them. Like, what a great, amazing, important lesson for your girls.
Yeah. And that's a bravery. That's bravery moving from a place that you're used to with all your family and then moving here without anybody and just one friend.
Right. I still have days where I struggle with it.
Yeah. How are the girls now? I mean, how are they, doing the whole thing and living here, you know, with the whole situation? Some of them, the two of them knew about it, right? Do they have a good relationship with their...
Well, the oldest, she had the same situation because she was 14 when I finally left. Mm-hmm. So she had that, I don't know how to say it, but, you know, you want that love from your parent, mm-hmm. whether they're abusive or not.
Yeah.
When you grow up that way, it's a little more acceptable, or you think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what you're in. So I think she still struggles with it. None of them have communication with him at all. He lost mm-hmm. his rights. It's not healthy at all for them. He lives in Michigan. My two younger ones are there right now visiting. I'll fly out on Thursday to be with them. But ultimately, they're all doing well. My 22-year-old is here. She's a licensed esthetician.
Wow, you have a 22-year-old?
And a 27-year-old.
Oh my gosh,
Christina.
You look so young. I'm like,
Oh my God.
And my two younger girls are 15 and 17.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. You look amazing.
I know.
Yeah, you don't look like you have a problem.
Let's talk about skincare.
Yeah, that's all
right. That's what my daughter's for. She's an esthetician and she's on me all the time.
Nice.
Oh, that's why. That's why.
She gets on me. Mom, wear your sunblock.
Christina, so wait, hold on. I want you to share to our viewers, how did you start? I mean, Christina, I know you started helping people. You know, now you're like this big influencer, like all, not just in America, but all over the world. I mean, how did you start this? How did you get out there and, you know what, I believe in myself. Okay, my purpose is this. You're passionate helping people, cooking for them. How did you get into the business part of it?
I mean, it really started as a hobby. Yeah. I started making these little cooking videos because that's all I felt like I was good at was cooking. And by the way, what you said about like, how did I feel confident to do it? I didn't. I think a lot of people wait to feel confident. If you wait for this or that, you're literally going to die waiting. You just got to do it. And so, so I just made these little cooking videos and, you know, I was good enough. I had all the normal insecurities. And then it was crazy. Within months, basically, I got discovered by Oprah. I ended up with my own cooking show. That's a whole long story, like too long to tell here. But then after that, but during that cooking show, this was not Oprah's fault. I was made out to be the perfect mom in the perfect kitchen with perfect food. And I just felt like a fraud because a few years back, I'd been sleeping on the floor and struggling. And I thought, if the previous me turned on the TV mm-hmm. and saw this perfect mom for a kitchen, that's not helpful. That's going to make her feel worse. So a few years passed after that cooking show. And I was like, just as a hobby, I'm just going to start making videos where I'm more honest. And at first just funny ones. The first video was 4 reasons stretch marks are sexy. And I showed off my stretch marks and, you know, made these funny points about how sexy they are. And then just kept going. And then eventually, as my following started growing, I thought, they don't even know what I've been through. Like, they're emailing me and telling me how much they're struggling. And they just think I'm this happy mom making jokes on the internet. And yeah. So I decided to just share all of it. I mean, I had one friend who was like, don't do this. Don't tell people about your mental health issues or about food stamps. That's no. And I didn't listen to that advice.
That's blah. You didn't listen to that advice.
And I just think I'm so glad. I mean, when I was doing it, I was like one of the first to so openly talk about this stuff. And now I feel like it's more normal. And I'm so thankful for that, because people are not going to get help, and we're not going to end the stigma around struggling if you think that we're the only one struggling. We need to know that everybody's struggling in their own way.
Yeah. Do you cry, Christina? Because I always see you laugh.
I cry all the time. The last chapter of my book starts with, I tell a story how I was in a public place, and I actually, some people had already like recognized me and come up to me and said, I watch you on the internet, whatever. And I was in a public restaurant with my mother-in-law, and I was talking about some stuff I was going through, and I broke down. And when I say crying, I mean like ugly cry into the spinach dip, like snot is falling into the spinach dip. And I know people are staring, and I just was like, I don't care. Life is hard right now, and I need to get it out. So I do cry, and I'm one of those people who does not get embarrassed about crying, because I feel like, we're always apologizing when we're crying.
Yeah.
Really, it's a feeling just like laughter. You don't apologize when you laugh. Why are we apologizing that I'm grateful that I am not a numb robot. I'm grateful that I feel things. And crying is just a sign that I really feel things. So I'm not embarrassed about.
Because I know that a lot of women approach you, Christina, a lot of women like maybe Judy, right? Who are going through this hell or trials or something. I mean, how do you help them? How do you keep up with them? Do you always like have time to like talk to them individually, or is just through your social media? On how do you do it? Like every day, other women.
If I meet someone in person, I try my best to give them time. You know, I'm going back on tour, and we have a meet and greet, and those meet and greets are supposed to take like, you know, half an hour for 100 people, and mine take like 4 hours because I'm like, I need to talk to them. But I've also, you know, I get emails, I get DMs on Instagram. I can't answer. I was feeling guilty
because people
pour their heart out and I couldn't answer. And I realized two things. One, I have to prioritize my sanity, right? And so I set a goal of I'm going to reply to 5 a day. That's it. That's all I can handle. I'm not going to feel guilty about it. And second of all, I am not an expert. I do not have a degree in psychology or psychiatry. Mm-hmm. I am not a life coach. I am just a human being who has gone through some stuff and struggles. Yes. And so I can't save anybody. I can share my story with you and hopefully it'll help you. But I can't save, you know what I mean? I'm not Jesus. I think the main thing is, I just like something I'm so passionate about is just reminding everybody all the time that, you know, reaches out to me to just be kinder to yourself. We are so cruel to ourselves. I mean, the things we tell ourselves are so cruel. You would never say those things to your child, to your mother, to your most loved one. Right. And to me, that was the life-changing thing. When I started being more forgiving and not expecting myself to be superhuman, not expecting myself to be perfect, you know, learning that if I make a mistake, that's okay. That doesn't make me inadequate. It makes me human.
Yes.
I think all of those things help so much.
Yeah. How about you? How about you, Judy? When you were at your lowest point, point in your life, what were some of the things that kept you moving forward?
My kids. Just my girls. Everything I do now is for my girls.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I worked at Hometown Buffet. Mm-hmm. I've done hostessing. You know, and I have a college.
So those were your first job when you moved here, right?
I moved here. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's just, you know, it's the girls. I knew that I had to do everything I could to provide for them. I had so many people doubting me. Mm-hmm. I wanted to prove everyone wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm still that way. If someone says no, I'm going to make sure I can do it. same thing with anything, like with career, with real estate. I'm mm-hmm. not where I want to be, but I will get there eventually. I just try to set a good example for the girls. I want them to know that with anything, all they have to do is work hard and they can achieve it. Mm-hmm. I never want them to rely on anyone either.
That's good. Christina, what advice do you have for Judy as she worked towards her, towards her goals and her plan for her life? I mean, now you have two grown-up kids, girls, but you still have the two girls, the little girls.
They're still my kids. I still, if they need me, I'm still going to take care of them. And let me tell you, I think I worry more about the older ones.
How are they? I mean, are they married? Do they have boyfriends? Or
they're in relationships, but uh-huh. I mean, my oldest is in Michigan, so I worry about everything, what she's doing, My 22-year-old is here. Anything. And she lives, near Santa Clarita. So anytime there's a fire, I'm freaking out thinking she's near it.
Yeah.
They're not with me. So I have more anxiety worrying about them than the two that are with me because they're in my home. I know what they're doing,
Yeah. Christina, what do you advise women who, moms who are, like Judy? I mean, I'm sure a lot of them, I also worry a lot. Mm-hmm. We just worry all the time. We can't have anxiety worrying over, what our kids are. I'm sure you have a teenager, love. I mean, Christina, how do you deal with that?
Well, okay. First of all, as far as advice for Judy, she doesn't need my advice at all. You are rocking it. You're such a great example to people out there who have been through hard relationships, unhealthy relationships, single parents. And that, the whole thing you talk about, that you're not going to take no as an answer and you're going to figure out another way. I think that feistiness is the key. In fact, when I'm signing my book, I always sign stay feisty because it's hard. That's a hard, I think we all have it, but it's hard to tap into for some people. But I think that feistiness is like one of the most, important tools in our toolbox in life to use. So I don't think she needs any of my advice. But as far as worrying, I've been a perpetual worrier. And mm-hmm. This is like no new information I'm sharing here, no new advice. But I feel like I just realized that I'm not going to allow the few things that are completely out of my control to control mm-hmm. me completely. Because that's what I used to do. Anything that was out of my control, anything, it was like the what if, right? And I would get so focused on that I couldn't even enjoy my life. And it made me, worry leaves you feeling stuck and you can't move forward if you're stuck. So just mm-hmm. taking a moment to acknowledge what I'm worried about and going, okay, what of this is in my control? I can, reach out to this person. I can do this. I can make this plan. What is out of my control? I'm just going to put in a box and I'm not going to focus on it because I'm not going to let that control me. It's not my box, but I got my own stuff I can't control. There's no brilliant solution. I think humans, we are going to worry. We're going to have, especially parents, how could we not worry? We love these children more than anything in the world, but it's all about not letting the worry paralyze you. Like feel the worry. Don't let it leave you stuck.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Feel the worry.
I think that's a problem though. Yeah. People go to extremes, right? They're either I'm just constantly worried. I'm constantly this or that, or they go to that. I'm not even going to allow myself to feel anything. Mm-hmm. And suppressing our feelings is not the path to feeling. It is not the path to healing. The more you suppress feelings, the more you're stuck. So you got to find that balance between not letting everything consume you, but still mm-hmm. feel it. I compare it to this. I think about I love cooking, obviously. So I think about marinating chicken, right? And I think of the chicken as us. And the marinade is the misery, the worry, the whatever, right? If I leave that chicken marinating in that marinade for days, weeks, years, it's going to turn into gelatinous poison. And that's what happens to our joy and our hope and everything if we let ourselves marinate in it for weeks and years. But you still need to dip yourself in that feeling. Let yourself feel it. Let it make you more tender. and then get out of there and do what you need to do. So feel it, but then wash it off.
Wow. Did you hear that, Judy? Are you going to do that?
I'm wearing chicken now. Somebody gave me some marinated chicken.
Are you going to do that? Are you going to follow her advice, Judy?
You know, I don't know. I think all I know is that I will not be good at being an empty nester. Will not be good. I'm bored right now, honestly. I need noise, and my kids are gone. I need noise. And when my house is quiet, I'm very uncomfortable.
You know, I feel the same way because I have grown-up children. Christina, I mean, you're going to feel this too.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I have two kids that left the house and I have one left and she's already 18 years old and I already feel it. Like, oh my gosh, I can't let her go yet. Like,
I don't even know what to do with myself.
This is the time. This is like clean slate. Go do stuff you never had time for. Like, literally, just go live it up. New hobbies, new friends.
I have to do something. Honestly, I've been doing nothing all these years other than working. Mm-hmm. So I have nothing to do. I'm going to have to find myself all over again.
Maybe that's why this is the time that maybe you do something for yourself now. Yes. You've done all these years for your children and really took care of them. And just like what she, Christina said, worrying will not, do well with our lives. So just get out there and maybe do something big for yourself this time,
Because you were in survival mode. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you were like, I got to pay the bills. I got to make sure my kids have what they need, especially as a single mom, no support system. Like you've literally just been like taking care of everybody else. And I feel like what a great time now for you to go, okay, I made sure everybody else has what they need, but what do I need? Do I have what I need? And then just go do something wild and awesome. I'm not saying like get arrested, not that kind of wild, but just like something that like fills you up and, really makes you feel alive.
How is your love life? Christina and I are married. I mean, how is your love life now?
I'm in a relationship. He's been with me for probably 10 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's helped raise my kids. I just call him dad because they were very young when we, divorced. He's great. He's a great support system. He's respectful.
He's been
very long. He's
well. That's at least you had someone with you. I mean, I know a lot of women out there who are single mom and really who doesn't have anybody. Like I literally just spoke to someone that how can I survive? She doesn't have anything right now. It's at least you have somebody that was there for you for like 10 years, right?
Right. And we were friends first.
What is that?
We were friends first.
Oh, so he was the guy that helped you.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's good. Well, I mean, that gave you, that helped you, him being around here when you moved here.
Right.
That's amazing. Christina, when you met your husband right now, did you meet him right when you were going through this, your hardship?
It was a few years later, which is good because I was a mess. I mean, I was not a good catch for a while there. I was not a good catch. But
so you met him at the right time and you were like, okay.
I was still on food stamps. I was still struggling, but I was emotionally, mentally in a better place. But our first date, because I didn't even really want it to be a date. I was like, I was one of those people that was never going to get married again, blah, blah, blah. So I showed up. I did not put makeup on. I didn't do my hair. I looked at the shirt I was wearing and there was a brown stain on it. I don't know if it was chocolate or my child's poop or what it was. I was like, I'm going to give him the real deal. You think you want this? Here I come. I mean, that was our first date. So, my dating experience was interesting because I, at that point, did not care. I was like, I'm not pretending. I'm not faking. Life is hard. let's figure it out and be really real about it.
See, be real, ladies, be real. You know, don't fake it.
Yes.
Whatever you're going through, or if you're dating right now, just show them.
Yeah.
Show who you
Where
are.
Where would you put your child's poop on a date? You have my blessing. If the guy doesn't like it, well, he probably shouldn't be with a single mom with young kids at, you know, anyway.
Yeah, it's so hard to survive being a single mom. No, I was just telling Max today, this morning, I was like, I was a single mom. I did things in my life that are not really appropriate, you know, just so I can, you know, feed my daughter that time, my daughter and my four siblings that time. Oh my gosh, it was so hard. But you know what? I survived it, and I'm still like having a tough time. You know what I mean? Like taking care of my siblings. They're still, yeah, it's crazy. So I'm so happy. I'm so happy. And Judy, is there anything else that you want to share, you know, we're wrapping up. Max is like, okay, wrapping up. Is there anything that you want to share to other women who went through what we're going through, the same thing.
They just have to hang in there and believe in themselves. They have to know that there's more to life than whatever situation that they're in, that they're stronger than they think, you know, and there's always help out there. They don't have to look for it. It's there. They just have to be open to it. They have to be open to accepting it.
Mm-hmm. Because hold on. Can I ask you one more thing? Because of the situation that you've been through, and you have girls. Are you like a strict mom?
I am. I'm very open. I mean, we have a very open relationship. Sometimes maybe I'm too open. Who knows? We talk about everything. At least I do. I mean, I know they get embarrassed because they're like, oh my God, mom.
Yeah.
But that's just how I am. So I'm strict. I'm somewhat overbearing. I don't mean to be.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a control freak.
Okay.
But that's only because I try so hard to have them avoid the same situations I was in, you know, so I explain things. And again, I have to understand that they're not until they go through it themselves.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what I do.
Okay. Just a quick advice. Because I have to ask Christina as well before we wrap up. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Judy, yeah.
Just quick advice, just if you need help, seek help. If you don't get it from family or you think they're going to, you know, go against you, which 9 times out of 10 they will.
Yeah.
Go outside and seek help. There is someone that will help you. Go to church. Go, you know, go anywhere.
Yeah.
There's someone that will help you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Judy. Christina, one last one. One last one. Just a take home for the women.
Just be good to yourself and get rid of the useless guilt. I mean, seriously, you don't suck. Your perception of you might suck.
Yeah.
But you don't suck. So get rid of all that useless guilt.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, ladies. Thank you. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Christina, thank you. I love you. Thank you so much, Judy. I hope to see you soon. Okay. Ladies, don't forget to give love to the next person that you see after watching and listening to our show. And follow me on Instagram, The Polished Woman, and Twitter. Motherhood is one of the hardest jobs that many people will have. Give grace to yourself and each other. Thank you so much and see you next Monday. Give love. Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to The Polished Woman with Jessica Bunavach, only on LA Talk Radio.